This
is
Global
Octopus,
and you're
listening to
KTCU FM
88.7 Fort Worth.
Yeah, I am Blackface Alien or BFA.
I'm Jays. Are we talking like real names?
Real names or your artist names, whatever.
All right, my name is Caleb Blank. I'm gonna keep it redacted. Cool. Y'all don't know where I stay at with my whole government.
I'm Joseph.
Cool. Caleb and Joseph. Where y'all from?
I'm from right here. I'm from Arlington. I was born in Dallas actually. But raised in Arlington for the most part. But I live all around the DFW. Now I'm in Denton. So that's where I'm at. Gotcha. But my family's from Haiti.
Cool.
I was born in California, and then I was raised in Missouri, for first through fifth grade, Missouri. And then sixth grade, Texas.
Sweet.
And my family's from Guyana.
Oh, cool. Okay, Missouri. So let's see. How has that impacted your sound, or if it has in any way?
It's definitely, like, as I've gotten older, like, when I was younger, like, I was kind of, like, not in touch with, like, my Haitian roots or whatever. Or then, like, when I would go to, like, my grandparents' house. As I got older, I've, like, tried to learn more about it. And, like, I started learning French, speaking French, stuff like that. Gotcha. Trying to learn some Creole. And I started, like, putting French into my raps.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, using that more. And just, like, being aware of, like, what's going on in the world and, like, in Haiti. Because, like, I take a lot of my inspiration, my music from, like, current events and what's going on in the world.
Gotcha.
But I was, like, let me expand the scope of, like, what my world is. Not just the United States. But like also Haiti too. And also just pay attention to the whole world, all the diaspora, all like French speaking countries, you know, all the Francophone countries in Africa and the Caribbean, wherever else.
And just family, really. I put that a lot in my music.
When did music become something that y'all wanted to start creating? And when did the idea of Global Octopus and how did it come about?
Global Octopus was like, it was literally an idea before I really even started rapping. Like I went to a museum and with a friend, and they had this exhibit where they had like these old magazine and like newspaper articles from like the 50s and 60s.
Gotcha.
And there was one where they were talking about the Cold War, and they referred to Russia as the global octopus of evil. And I was like, yo, that sounds cool as hell.
That's a cool
that
name.
Does sound
so
cool.
I was like, global octopus, I'm gonna use that for something.
Oh, and then, sweet.
Like, then and I met Joseph later, like a year later, and then we became friends. And then I was a psych major at the time, like on the pre-med track. And I was like, man, I really don't want to be a freaking doctor in school for like 12 more years.
For like forever, literally.
Like, yeah, I was like, what else can I do? I was like, I really love hip hop. Like I've always loved hip hop. That was like my reason for being. But then I was like, what if I make it myself? Because I was always just like a watcher, but not a participator. But I was like, what if I try this?
Freshman year for me, it was hard to like break out because I wasn't trying to talk to anyone. I was in my room most of the time. And like our friend group, they had an idea. They wanted to create like a group. And he brought up the name Global Octopus. And I thought, and
they all clowned me for it.
They just like, that's a whack name. Who's ever going to do something with Global?
It's like, it's too many syllables.
I was like, what?
No one can say that. Global Octopus, people can't say more than four syllables. It'll never work. And you're proving them wrong though, right now.
Right.
So you talked a little bit about how you found Global Octopus and like you wanted to use it for something, but what's the significance as far as the rap name and in your music?
What does it mean to you, Joe?
Really, brotherhood, because through Global Octopus, I feel that I've gotten a better like handle of myself, and like rapping has done things for me that I didn't think that I could do. One of the biggest fears of mine was going on stage. I did not like performing in front of people. And when, like, the first few times we did it, you know, I was in the back and he was just like, get up front or speak louder. And, but, like, all through that, more and more, I just got more comfortable with myself. And, like, you know, I'm like, I can be a little, you know, braggadocious in my raps. I own this, like, I own this platform.
For sure.
Honestly, I have mad performance anxiety. Like before, really? Ever since I was before, like any type of performance I do, like I used to play basketball. You know, we used to be on the same team
for sure.
But like
cross country
before,
too.
Yeah, cross, before any like big event like that, for a basketball game, for a cross country, before I step out on stage, even now when I feel like I'm pretty experienced now, like oh no, I'm gonna kill a show. Like right before I go on, like I feel like I'm about to die. Like my heart beats so fast, like I have to sit down and like calm down, like breathe, and like then once I go on stage, all that nervous energy turns to like energy on the stage.
Of
I'm
course.
Like animated. I'm all over the place.
Yeah, because you can kind of use that to your advantage
exactly
if you can get to that point.
The reason I wanted to use that as a name is because going back to that.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I really like octopi. Like, I'm like an animal nerd.
Okay.
And at one point, I thought about being like a zoologist.
Oh, wow.
And so I love octopi. I love cephalopods in general. I think they're really cool. And so I like that, but also like the metaphor for an octopus, because they got eight arms and they got suckers and they can just like, you know, they have like a long reach. And so like Global Octopus is like, we want our music to not just be like a local phenom. Like we want to have an impact to be everywhere.
Sweet. How would you guys describe your sound?
Hip hop. Like whenever, one of the first things that I
animal sounds.
Animal sounds. But I say hip hop because I feel like whenever you say hip hop, you get a different feel of what like what to expect as far as music wise goes, as opposed to when you hear rap.
Yeah.
And but it's like old school. But then I don't want to put us in that box because we're trying.
I don't believe in boxes.
Yeah.
Just musicians.
I'm not. I don't say I'm outside the box. I said there is no box, and you can do whatever you want.
There you go. I like that. Yeah. You don't have to call yourself something specifically, because it's like you said, then you limit yourself, and people have preconceived notions and opinions exactly of what you should be.
I think definitely with music, a term that I kind of came up with to describe our sound is like class conscious rap nonsense, because like we like to have a lot of fun with it, you know, and just enjoy ourselves with the music and what we're doing, but also we like to have a message. So we like to try to find the balance between like having something to say and then just saying something that sounds cool and just having fun with it. And I think that's really like our sound.
Yeah, just finding that sweet spot.
Yeah, like sonically, like I feel like our beats vary a lot. Like we don't have like a clear cut sound. I don't know that we'll ever have like a clear cut sound where you hear a beat and you're automatically like, oh, this is Global Octopus. Mm. I think a lot of our stuff will always sound different from our other stuff.
Cool.
But when you like the heart of it will always be the same.
I just actually, just in preparation, you know, I have to do a little bit of research and some studying. I went through your Discog. Like you said, can't really be like, oh, that's a Global Octopus song, because there's so many different sounds that you guys do. What are your biggest influences musically or in any other artistic sphere? And why?
I really love abstract art. I love like impressionism, especially like pointillism, where they like, where they do like a lot of like the little dots with the paintbrush and they make it into something. Mm-hmm. I love that kind of stuff. I love Matisse, Henri Matisse. He's one of my favorite painters. But musically though, like I definitely am inspired by like Outkast.
Outkast is a big one.
Lupe Fiasco, yeah. Radiohead. Radiohead was on for me, honestly, made me like want to write songs. Like their songs. Thom Yorke, like the way he crafts songs is like so amazing. Like the structural and the lyricism that he brings to it. Like I always had a huge admiration for Radiohead.
Sweet.
For me, it would be the Strokes. And it's like, I just listen to a lot of their music, so I like how chill it is. And I listen to a bunch of techno music, and that's not really, that's not really like an influence, but as far as production goes, that's something that I want to replicate.
Oh, Busta Rhymes too. I love Busta Rhymes. Busta Rhymes crazy. Is like, maybe when I do more stuff with my voice, I'm like, yo, and like maybe.
Oh, and Milo.
No name and Milo maybe tap into my poetic side.
But
Milo was the first rapper that I'd heard rap like that before.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other door to rap. It's not just, you know, one style, and that was a cool thing.
That's when I started to realize like rap is literally limitless. Like you can do whatever you want. Every time I have like find a new artist and have something great, I try to take a part of what they do that makes them so good and unique and makes them stand out, and I try to incorporate it into myself. So I'm like an amalgamation of all the best parts from all the best rappers.
I mean, how could you not be the best if you do that?
Exactly. That's so, my philosophy.
There you go.
And then I bring my own personal spin to it too. Because if you're not doing something that only you could do, then why are you doing it?
That's facts. So how do you approach the songwriting and creative process? How long does it take for you guys to take, like, to make a song start to finish?
Just really depends on the beat. Because, like, there are some beats that, like, as soon as we hear it, we just, like, yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we made yes in, like, 2 minutes. For and real? It's like, we heard the beat, and we were just sort of like, yes.
That came straight from the spirit. And like, we just felt that in me, like, yes. A lot of times, like, I write the bulk of a song in, like, an hour, 2 hours. And then I'll spend like a couple of days, like a couple of weeks, like touching it up and like fine tuning it. And like, all right, let me substitute this word for that word because it fit the rhyme scheme better. Or I like the way that this sounds because there's like the emphasis on these consonants right here. So it goes well with that. And that's when I do like the tweaking and the surgical precision.
Gotcha.
The bulk of it usually happens pretty quickly.
Really?
The music is really just like a way for us to express ourselves and explore ourselves, you know, and the world around us too. Like I think of music as something that's like interactive. Like I don't just simply listen to it, you know, or simply experience. Just make it. Like I try to take it in and see like what can I bring out of myself with this song that I'm trying to make. I mean, not every song making experience is that deep, but sometimes I'm like,
sometimes you can get to that level. Yeah.
So I'm like, where can I go with this? What am I trying to say? How can I say it? Where have I been? Where am I trying to go to?
How has the overall response to your music been over the last year? Have you guys officially releasing stuff and performing and stuff like that?
Yeah, right. We're really not big on social media and stuff. Like, we have it because I'm real it's important this day and age. But honestly, neither one of us can really bring ourselves to be on there consistently on a regular basis. And that hurts because, like, we're in a digital age. Before that, like, definitely live shows was how we got most friends. Like, every time, that's something that we definitely pride ourselves on. We, like, practice a lot. And so, like, literally when we do a live show, like, we always shut it down. Like, we always, everybody who's there, like, even if they weren't paying attention to some acts before, whatever, like, when we go up on stage and we start performing, like, everybody pays attention. So that's how we got a lot of our fans. But people really rock with us. Like, in Denton, like, DFW, like, we're really well-received. Like, a lot of people, they really like our music.
That's awesome. Have you guys been surprised by that at all? Or
yes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and obviously, when I'm writing stuff, I don't think, like, oh, this is trash. But, like, also, at the same time, like, man, no one's really actually going to like this. And then we make some stuff. Someone's like, yo, this is, like, this is some of the most unique stuff I've ever seen. You giving me MF Doom, Andre 3000 vibes. I'm like, yo, really? Like, this is just some stuff that I just wrote off the cuff, you know. But it's cool. It's cool to, you know, make stuff and then be well received, because, like, obviously I want people to like my music, although it's not about, for us, it's definitely not about the popularity. Yeah. We want to like make our way in the music scene, but, like, we don't want to go, like, a traditional route and, like, sign to a label or do anything like of that. Course. We want to be independent and have, like, full control of our own stuff and like help change the way the artists do stuff and be more collaborative, because a lot of times, like, music biz, it's like, artists are so cutthroat.
And competitive. It's like, I all right. So it's like, I like the competitiveness of hip hop. Hip hop is the only thing that's made me competitive. But, like, I'm not out here to try to fight you right now.
Yeah.
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 It's just like, bro, it's like, we're rapping and then we get off the stage, just go chill. It's hard to find.
Yeah. I don't
really
like,
gets that.
Yeah.
I don't like the cutthroatness of it. Like, I really feel like we would all be better off as artists if we would collaborate and work together. Not necessarily even like, oh, you have to, like, make a song with every artist, you know, and be cool with everybody. But, like, in general, just have more encouraging attitudes towards each other and, like, create, like, a better environment, you know?
Looking through Moss Collection and Animal Sounds, y'all's cover art.
Oh, yes.
Is crazy.
Yeah, shout out to crazy. Savannah and so, Camille.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And Harvey.
And
oh, Harvey, yeah, from Moss Collection in, like, 1. Scotland. He has some really good art.
And he had cool art, so we hit him up for Moss Collection.
Oh, that's sweet. Why do you think cover art's so important?
That's the first thing people see. Yeah. And it will kind of, I don't want to say it all, it will always give you the vibe that the album is gonna, like, you know, put out, but it does a good job. And if it catches your eye, then people are gonna be like, that's cool, I want
to
click on it.
When we make art, like, I want, like, all of it to, like, complement itself. Like, I want the artwork to complement the music and the music to complement the artwork, and I want it to go together.
And I imagine the track listing and then you guys, the name process of your songs is probably just as important too.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Right.
It's like one thing that I learned when I was, like, in my poem phase, when I was writing my poetry, is, like, the title of your poem is important, because it basically, before they read what you're about to say, like, it puts them into the head. You can put them into the headspace of where you're trying to take them with the words that you say in the poem. So it's like a sneak peek of what they're about to get.
Like a trailer.
Yeah, exactly. So the titles are important too. And then I like, when we, like, have a project, we like to think about, like, how the listener is going to experience it and, like, layer the track, put the track listing that way.
It's one of my favorite parts, is just kind of listening to all the songs we got and, like, figuring out the order so I can put them in a mood and then take them down and then, like, bring them up.
Yeah. What's that process like then for when you're recording for a project versus just recording for songs?
So recently, since we're still trying to get our sound out, all, like, most of the music that we make is going to go towards a project, but I think the next one that we have, it's going to be a lot more, like, concentrated. We're going to follow an idea. Sweet. But these last three are just kind of, like, compilations of what we got.
Cool. Yeah.
Animal Sounds was, like,
Animal Sounds is the most cohesive.
Yeah, Animal Sounds is, like, the actual, like, project. Like, I would call that an EP.
Yeah.
Moss Collection, 0.5, Moss Collection 1 are more just, like, mixtapes. And
okay.
They're just random songs that we made and, like, put them all in a tape.
Gotcha.
Animal Sounds was more, like, there's an idea to all of them together.
Yeah.
The other two.
I think Animal Sounds is my favorite. But, I mean, while I say that, what curious favorite project?
Oh, Mollusk Collection 1.
Mollusk Collection 1
by far. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay. I feel like we hit our most polished artistry. Yeah, it's the most polished. And it's also, like, we mix our own stuff. And that's definitely the best mixed project, too. Because we had to learn how to do that. We've come a long way from, like, I remember a month in Scott Station. And I literally had, like, no plugins on Ableton. And, like, I didn't even know how to do compression or EQ.
And then
I was like, oh, man, this sounds fire. I'm a freaking mixing god. I'm a genius. And then I, like, 5 months later, I listened to it. I'm like,
oh my gosh, right?
This mixing is so
terrible.
You can
really tell the difference.
It's really trash.
And
most people, casual listeners, they're not going to
hear it.
But like, well, in a, if you put, unless you put it side by side, like if you put like a Munson Scott Station right next to like Yes, then you will hear how terrible a Munson Scott Station sounds. But like the average listener, if you're not doing side by side, they're not really
gonna. Okay, I'm gonna have to go check on that then.
No.
And just see how bad it really was. It's funny that you talked about, you know, you just mentioned mixing, because literally my next question was, what role do you guys play or want to play in the future of the production side of your music? Because yeah, you tweeted Global Octopus production engineering team coming 2021. Yeah.
Straight mixing production. We want to handle all of it.
All of it. I was just going to ask, like, you talk about what that tweet meant and what that means for the future of Global Octopus?
In the future, we're definitely trying to have like projects where like all the beats made by us, all the mixing and mastering and stuff like that, done by us. Just like
everything.
Just everything 100%. Comes from us. We the whole thing, the whole shebang. Dude, we want to work with other people too. Like, definitely, like, now I'm trying to like reach out to some people, like, or just I need to like tweet about that and say, hey, I'm open for like mixing services, also open for features too.
Okay, cool.
But just be for me forgetting to tell people, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to mix stuff for people, and then I never say anything. I'm sitting there, I'm like, why has no one hit me
up
to mix
stuff? Why don't I have anything to mix?
Yeah, then it's like, I never said anything to anybody, so that's probably why.
That could be a problem, maybe just a little bit.
We're definitely trying to do more features in 2021 and trying to mix stuff for people.
What about, you mentened beats, but you're trying to produce everything.
Right. Oh, yeah, we're trying beats. To produce too. And I'm learning the keys, he's learning the bass. When we do release it, everything is perfect.
Cool. So I'm excited for that then, honestly, because that's kind of like, I mean, anyone thinks of this if you follow music, but I just think of Igor.
Igor.
And Tyler, Creator doing every single thing on that album.
That's evolution as an artist. Like, it's artist unreal. Is crazy.
We talked a little bit about live shows. You guys did several live shows last year. How's that experience been? And why is it so important to you guys?
It's an achievement. Because like I said, it's not something that I thought I would be doing. So every time I go out there, it's just like I can express myself. And then if we give these people a show, they're going to come back for another show. And it's like, and that was one thing that we were trying to like hone in on, the importance of performing for the people. Because it's like, if they pay money to see you, you got to put on a show. We can't just be up there like, you got to jump around, make it worth it.
It's like there's some artists who like, I listen to their music. Oh, yeah, that's cool. And then I go see them perform. And I was like, that was kind of disappointing. Like, I want the live shows to be even better than the recorded tracks.
Right. Yeah.
And like when we perform, like if you feel the song and you just listening to it, like you definitely gonna feel it when we perform it live. Like all the emotions and the sentiments that we put into that track that we're trying to convey to the listeners, like you will feel that. Like our recordings are good, but we're still trying to figure out how to get the maximum recording. We're still working on our mixing. We got to a pretty good point now, but like our live shows, that's really what sets us apart, I feel like.
Cool.
That's what like the live expression does. Like the music takes on a different form.
That's facts. Would you guys ever put like a live recording of a track on an album or a project?
If we had like live instrumentation, definitely, like 100%. I don't see why not.
Yeah, that's definitely something not, that I really. Thought about.
Yeah.
But now that you mention it, I'm definitely gonna ponder it some more and think about it.
I think of Kendrick when he dropped the single was just a recorded song, and then he came out with a video, and then he put it on Pimp, and it was a live version of it.
Yeah.
And it was like at first you're kind of like crazy, like that's weird, that's not what I was expecting to hear.
Right,
because a lot of times when artists will drop those singles, then you'll be like, oh, now like you're listening to the album and you get to the point where there's a single you've heard and you're like, okay. But then Kendrick does it, so he puts a new spin on an old single.
Yeah, that's, I love that.
Yeah.
He really is goated for that. Like, the creativity coming out of Kendrick Lamar. Give us another album, bro.
Speaking of the live performances, you guys hosted a live stream event in July, and all the proceeds went to a program called Green Tree Estates.
Right, yeah.
And in the same month, you donated all of your Bandcamp proceeds to supporting LGBTQ individuals and groups.
Right. Yeah.
So that leads me to, why is it so important for y'all to give back and contribute to helping others?
I mean, we're nothing without the community that we live in, the people that actually come out and support us. And I feel like that's something that, in general, we're kind of lacking. You know, we're very, in America, we're a super individualistic society, but I feel like that almost goes against like our nature. Like humans need people, like we're pack animals. We need to work together. But like the mindset of our country is I, me, me, me. And I would really like to help shift it so that we're all about we, you know? And just so we gotta live it. You know, we can put in our songs and stuff like that and say stuff, but we gotta do stuff too. So we always try to give back to the community. The most marginalized people are the people that need our help the most. You always gotta look out for everyone else around you. Because I'm not content to just like live good, just me. Other people are suffering. Like, we got to improve everybody's collective conditions.
And water is an essential right. So there was a community in Denton that didn't have running clean water. And that's just, it's irritating.
Yeah.
It's like we're in the 21st century.
It's not like we're in a water desert. Like, there's no way to, like, everywhere else has water. Like, there's no reason the city of Denton could handle that. And they should handle that. But the residents need to pay first. I'm like, bro, everybody needs water. Like, come on. Like, that's the type of stuff I hate. Like, there's certain things everyone is titled to that everyone needs. That's not a luxury. Give these people water.
Yeah. What's next for Global Octopus in 2021? What are the main goals musically? Can we expect maybe some, you know, official music videos, an album? You know, I would say tours, but obviously that's not going to come back till the fall or even later. Or, you know, that question. And then what other creative avenues do you want to explore and discover, like, throughout your career?
Musically, we definitely want to release like at least one project this year that has like original Global Octopus production, and we're definitely trying to step out of hip hop too. Like, hip hop is that's my true love, you know. But there's so many sounds that come into my mind that I want to make. Like, we want to make some funk stuff.
Electronic soul, techno.
I came up with this idea for like a rock song last night when I was practicing my bass, and I was like, oh man, it was sounding so hardcore, and I was like, I have all these ideas, so. We just want to like expand Afro beats.
Yeah, I've been listening to a bunch of Afro beats. It's the production is very similar to techno music, but it's like African influences, and they're using drums, and it's like you got people dancing and singing on it. Like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, so we're definitely trying to sing too.
Oh yeah, singing. Yeah. I want to try to get these.
Okay. Okay. Get some vocals on there.
Yeah.
Do your own. I mean, you're already doing your own hooks, but do your own hooks and choruses. Of
course. Right.
Yeah, we got a lot of music. We've always planned on constantly like changing and evolving, expanding whatever people think Global Octopus is. We're going to show them that we're even more than that. Like, you can't, whatever you think you are, like, scratch that, because we're always going to be something new and different and innovative.
I mean, that kind of goes with the octopus too, or at least the cuttlefish.
Yeah, they're always changing.
Dope. So when can we expect new music though? I mean, at the core, I love the creative stuff. I love what you're trying to do, but I want new music.
Well, we don't like to put a timetable on ourselves.
When
you know, creativity, like, you can't force it. Like, if I'm not feeling it, then I'm not feeling it that day, you know? Sometimes I try to force myself to write. Just like, I try to write a bunch just to like, literally, I have so many songs that I've written that will never see the light of day. So I just wrote as practice.
Yeah, no, that's good though. But,
like, we want to, like, we're thinking like April, like maybe have a project in April, May, maybe have a project by then.
Cool.
But this is not, definitely not set in
stone. No, we haven't really started.
We've just been practicing, like, learning instruments and stuff like that.
Sweet. No, I mean, of course, there's no reason to, again, it's like you said, no reason to put yourself in a box, no reason to put yourself on a timetable.
We'll probably drop some stuff too, like some Lucy's along the way for people to listen to. And like other art though, for me, like, I definitely want to, I've been trying to get back into writing poetry again, because I definitely want to have like just like a collection of my poems. I'm going to have like an anthology at one point in my career when I'm like 30, like poems that I've just been writing for like the past like 12 years.
That'd be pretty cool.
And just like release that. And then also, I write short stories and stuff. I have this one idea.
Stickman.
That's the working title. It literally evolved. The idea evolved so much. Because it started, I was like, oh, this dude. Because I have a staff that I use and like practice like spinning and like doing like some Taekwondo stuff.
Sweet.
But I was like, I was thinking about, wouldn't it be cool to like, I want to have a story where it's like this dude, he just goes around and he has like a staff and he just goes around beating dudes' butts in the street.
Yeah.
Like, he just, you're kicking butt, taking aim, just fighting. But it like turned into this side. It turned into like this whole other idea where it's like about in the future, and there's like society is split by like two different ways that human evolution has gone. There's like one side where people have like said that like human evolution is like technology, so like people like become incorporated, like basically like cyborgs, that type of stuff, and that's one route that human evolution took. But another side is like people decided to devote themselves to unlocking the mind. And understanding the mind and getting full control over that, all your subconscious, unconscious processes.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah. And then
sounds like a series, man. Like a TV series.
It's definitely going to be a series. Okay. I'm thinking about even making it like, I wrote a short story version of it, but I kind of want to make it a graphic novel.
Yeah.
That'd like be even dope. Like turn it into like an anime or a TV show or something one day.
Yeah.
Potentially. But I definitely, I'm working on it right now. It is definitely something I want to keep on going for a long time too. Like,
that's fire. I'm a fan.
Oh, I forgot about Universal Mollusk Records. That's the record label.
Oh, yeah, a record company that we made up
because when we first released some stuff on
cool.
like, Spotify and like official sources of like, what's your record label? And we're like, we don't have a label. So I was like, Universal Mollusk.
I love it.
It's like a step up from global, Universal. And Mollusk is like the class, is like a bigger classification from Octopi. People don't know that though. When people think Mollusk, think of like a snail.
Yeah.
It's not just snails. It's also like squids and octopi. And
I literally had no idea. Yeah. Like the amount of animal facts that I've learned is wonderful. Like I wasn't expecting that.
You know, one thing about animal sounds is like literally what I was going to do, and I just got lazy with the mixing, but I was going to put animal sounds in every single track. Or like put it somewhere in the track. Like on Snoopy, there's some monkey sounds in there.
Okay.
And then on Grief Today for Tomorrow, there's like bird sounds at the beginning, but there's not bird sounds or animal sounds in the rest of them. Because I got tired because I was like mixing so much. And yeah. I was getting frustrated. Like, I can't do this. I'm just done. I'm done.
That's a good plan though. That's a good idea.
I know. That. It would have made animal sound. I feel like it would have taken up just a little bit. Yeah. But you know, yeah. I'm still satisfied with the project.
No, I think it's great.
But Universal Mollusk Records is going to be a thing in the future.
I was going to ask, what are your plans with that?
It'll definitely be like artists that, you know, who we definitely want to work with. And it's not even going to be like so much as like a traditional label in the sense that we're really just like, it's a collaboration with whatever artists we're rocking with.
Okay.
Like we'll do it through Universal Mollusk Records and help artists like put them on. Like I don't want to sign a deal where we own their rights to their music, all that type of stuff. Like I want any artist who works to have their own freedom and do whatever. We just want to help other artists like be able to like come into themselves as much as possible. Once we get to a point where we can do that, because we're still trying to come in on our own.
Of course.
If we get to that point, like we want to help others be able to do that too and have their own freedom and independence.
Sweet. Why should people be interested in Global Octopus?
Because we're still like working out the kinks on what we're doing. But once we get all of this like together and once we get a full project going, once we're at the 100%, then we're gonna take over. We're really trying to make this a money machine and just support ourselves. It's fun.
I mean, you don't have to listen to Global Octopus if you don't want to. I won't lose any sleep over it. I won't cry. Just know that you're missing out. Like Global Octopus, I definitely believe that we have the potential to be like one of the best hip-hop groups of all time. Seeing where we started out and where we're at now, just like 2 years in, because we really didn't have like any musical knowledge to us whatsoever, but like now where we're at, like I feel like I'm always excited to see where I'm going to be at like the next year because of how much I've grown. Like I feel like in 5 years from now,
it's going
like,
to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Like we're going to go over there. You're going to go over there, listen to the album. It's going to be like, we're going to go over there and kill it with the production on. I'm going to be like rapping and spin like crazy. It's going to be like some slow laid back jazz. And then the next song is like, it's like some crazy funky stuff. And then it's like a freaking like techno a punk song and like a techno song. It's just all over the place. Like what are these guys? They got to pick. You can't have an album with all these different genres on the same. Like watches. We're going to do it all.
So the word would be versatile.
Yes.
The word would be versatile. Yes.
I want to be a renaissance man.
Sweet. I mean, that's one way to tap into a number of fan bases and grow, you know, your music, because if you're doing so many different things, you're going to pull from so many different people. So what are the best ways that fans can support, stay up to date on all things Global Octopus?
Follow our Instagram at Global Octopus 17. Our Bandcamp is just Global Octopus.
GlobalOctopus.bandcamp.com.